In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Christ is risen.
Indeed, he is risen.
Late last night, I was kind of going through my sermon, and I began to, how shall I say, revise it. So the good news is about half of it is gone. The bad news is that I'm not sure what's going to replace it, so we'll just kind of hope here that that something cohesive and coherent is available for your meditation today on this wonderful Paschal Sunday, where, of course, the church remembers the raising of the paralytic as a symbol or sign of the resurrection of Christ and of the authority and the power of Christ to bring his healing to the world. And this is part of the proclamation of the church, is that humankind now need not be laying in its paralysis. The paralysis, if you heard in one of the hymns a little bit earlier in the, I believe it was the Kontakion, talking about the paralysis of sin, that we don't have to lay in that anymore, but rather that Christ has come to raise us up out of that. And in looking at the life of this particular man who was laying there next to the pool and struggling and suffering for a long time, it really was symbolic of humankind itself, which had been languishing for so long before the coming of Christ. Languishing, unable to move, and unable to, even though the grace of God was so near, as it were, still unable in a timely way to afford oneself of that grace that was there. Paralyzed, unable to move. This is a serious condition to find oneself in. And I'm sure that the burden was very heavy. It's interesting, though, how many of the patristic commentaries I read, anyway, about this man, you know, they're not hard on him. They actually extol the fact that he had persevered for so long and that he still continued to long for healing. Even after 38 years, he was still in some way hopeful. And maybe it was even that hope that the Lord could see. The Lord would be able to work with that. Just that little bit of hope that was in his heart. Maybe it had diminished year after year after year, receiving no healing. Receiving the disappointment of being second into the pool, which brought no health to him. And so Christ was responsive. And Christ saw him in his need, reached out to him. This raising up out of the paralysis, showing that indeed the pool would be helpful, but helpful in a different way. And of course, the church takes this image of the pool, and the fathers speak frequently of the pool being the pool of holy baptism. And that it would be through the pool of holy baptism that the inner paralysis of the soul would be raised and we would be set free of that paralysis. So let us then reflect for a moment, what is the nature of the paralysis that you and I experience? Now, thanks be to God, most of us are able to walk freely, and you know, we would not be called paralyzed by most people in our culture. But there are many who are. I think, for example, especially of our veterans, many who have suffered terribly as a result of their war injuries and are paralyzed. And to know that the compassion of Christ to raise them up, not only physically, but also emotionally and spiritually, is offered to them. But I speak also, though, of another kind of paralysis or other kinds of paralysis this morning. And these are, for example, the emotional paralysis. Those of you who are young, maybe you've experienced this. If you had a breakup, you had a boyfriend or a girlfriend, and you were like really, how shall I say, engaged, maybe formally so or not so formally so, but life was full of energy and vigor. And then when the breakup comes, it's devastating. And it has many kinds of effects, oftentimes emotional paralyzing effects. You feel depressed. In fact, depression is oftentimes the underside of this emotional paralysis, or even the cause of it. This is a, a paralysis that binds the soul. So even though a person can physically walk, at least for now, that depression keeps them from walking. And so they may find themselves lying around in the bed. They can get up, they have the strength, the bodily capability, but they don't. They're just as paralyzed, if not more, than the man that we hear about in the story of the gospel. A man in need of healing, but so is the person who experiences this kind of depression, to be raised up. It's another kind of emotional paralysis, and that is fear. Literally, that's, you know, if you're fearful, you're paralyzed. You know, the proverbial doe in the headlights or deer in the headlights, that statement, what is that? That's a paralysis. The deer can't move. It knows it needs to move, but it's just stuck, and it's fearful. And this is a fear that paralyzes us, a fear from which we need to be delivered so that we can move about freely again and so we won't get run over by life. This is another kind of paralysis that needs to be healed. There's another kind of paralysis related emotionally to us, and that's envy. We feel defeated because other people seem to be doing well. They seem to have more than we have. And so inside we feel bad about ourselves. And that has a paralyzing force and allies itself with an inner anger. And that also then more often than not paralyzes us, though even sometimes it becomes worse. It energizes us to do evil against our neighbor, like Cain did against his brother. We know that these types of emotional paralysis exist, but there are other kinds of paralysis as well, the spiritual paralysis, where a person is seemingly mobile, capable, functional in life, but does not trust, cannot really humanly relate to others or to God. A person whose faith has been shaken so deeply, sometimes cannot trust anyone, let alone God. And this forms a spiritual paralysis where the person cannot move or advance spiritually. This person becomes unloving because they never engage with others. Because you see, that engagement with others means trusting them. On some very fundamental level, it means sharing with them. And it's, as I said, quite possible to go through life and seemingly on a very superficial way be, normal, but deep down there is no trust, there is no love because they've been hurt, perhaps, or they've lost their trust, they've lost their faith in God, they've lost real confidence. And really are relying only upon themselves and upon their egos to keep them going. That's a real paralysis in life. Maybe one of the most dangerous. This is a spiritual paralysis. This kind of leads to isolation. And you know, whenever that becomes very deep and very profound, it leads to a kind of depression that leads often to suicide. Because this person is utterly alone. Because they can't trust anybody. Nor can they trust God. And maybe they can't trust anybody because they don't first trust God. And so this is another paralysis. There's another kind of paralysis where people are stymied in life by falsehood. And again, maybe they don't realize that they are. But the falsehoods have come into their life that keep them from knowing what the truth is, the truth that will set them free. Religious falsehood leads many people into a paralysis, into an inaction, or again, worse, an action that is devious, deceitful, angry, or utterly ungodly, that has no reflection whatsoever in the real truth of God's love for us. Sometimes our rationality leads us to conclusions that are not only wrong, but pig-headed. Stubborn. You see, in the stubborn person, what? It's like the mule. The mule is paralyzed. Why? Because he's stubborn. He can't go anywhere. He can't do anything. His stubbornness is keeping him from moving forward. And you can try a lot of times. I don't know, I have to ask Vera about this, about moving mules and donkeys around. But, you know, it's not easy sometimes with these equine type of animals to move them along, to get them going where they're supposed to go. One of the things, though, that, of course, the gospel today shows us is that the Lord has come to bring us and to raise us out of the human paralysis. And, of course, he uses this healing of the man as the visible symbol of what it means to be raised up out of that paralysis. How does the healing happen? Well, first of all, it's interesting that if you look at the words in the scripture, the translation into English of the Greek words is that the man is held by disease. He's held by disease. That's what the paralysis word means. A man is held by disease. He's captured. He can't move, okay? That's the notion of it. But it would help us to understand and to make a self-diagnosis. Well, what is it that's holding us? Now, you know, if somebody has lost his limbs because of war, well, on the first level, it becomes obvious what that is. But for many of the rest of us, maybe it's not quite so obvious. But we are perhaps just as tightly bound by these chains of paralysis, even more so than a person who may have lost their legs or lost their mobility in some way. So what is it that's paralyzing you? What is it? Why can't you move forward? Why can't you get on with life? Why can't you do what it is that you know in your heart you're supposed to be doing? Some of those things that I talked about, the spiritual and the rational and the emotional paralysis, have connections to sin. And in the Kontakion, where it talked about raising the paralytic up, so also raise me up from the mire of my sins. Because these sins are the things that actually often are the ones that paralyze us far more than our physical condition alone. And sometimes they play together, where the emotional paralysis leads to a spiritual paralysis, or vice versa. And so diagnose, or be diagnosed, or come and receive spiritual healing through the confession of sins, through the acknowledgement that this is my condition. Now, it's interesting that there were three healings, actually, in the readings that we heard today. The one that is the one that I've been talking about there, but there were two others. In the epistle reading, or the reading from the Acts of the Apostles, of St. Peter, raising up a person who was paralyzed from his bed. And then he goes along, and there was Tabitha, who was really paralyzed. She was dead. That's really what paralysis looks like when it takes it to its ultimate end. And of course, what we see here is the victory in the resurrection of Jesus over this state, the state of the paralysis and the fallenness of our minds, of our emotions, of our spirits, of our bodies. Jesus has come to raise us. The proclamation of Jesus is risen is a proclamation that just as he is risen, so also we can rise. In every one of those healings, you know how they happened? The three healings that I mentioned today, that the scriptures mention? It happens when the word is spoken, the command is spoken, rise. Rise. I want you to hear that word, rise. It may come from my mouth. It's not coming from me. It's coming from God to you. Rise up. Don't stay where you are. Don't stay in that state, because you have within you now the authority, the power, the grace to overcome in some way, that force that's binding you. That's what the resurrection of Jesus is about. That's why we proclaim his resurrection. Because it's the proclamation of our resurrection. And not only on the last day, but being risen and lifted up in this way of life, this time of our life. And that the Lord God was with us even in the time of our paralysis. But the time comes when we have to hear his voice, when he or his apostle, as is in the case of Peter, says, rise. That somehow there is the ability in the human soul to receive that word in a most profound way inside, interiorly. To find our faith again, of living faith, and a strength that comes with being freed from the paralysis. You know, and with the commandment in each case, there is not only the rising, the command rise, but also the movement. The Lord Jesus says, arise, take up your pallet and walk. The Lord says to the man, no, don't only just rise, but here, let's get some work done. And be my witness, as he would be so very shortly after this miracle. Unfortunately, we didn't have the icon of the paralytic out today. I think I put a copy of it in the bulletin. I invite you to look at it. But it's kind of neat that in the icon, in many of the icons, the paralytic is carrying his bed around like this, showing his strength. And that's the way I would love to see each person in this congregation. I'd love to see that strength. Not only just, you know, because you've been working out, but the inner strength, the grace, the faith, the faithfulness, the spiritual life, the victory over the defeats that you've experienced in the past, the overcoming of sin, the inner strength. That man that we see, you know, pictured in as the paralytic, it's like he's carrying his cross. There's a kind of a wooden characteristic to that pallet. It's his cross. But you know what? He can carry it. He's given the pallet. By golly, he's going to carry it. Why? Because the Lord gives him the strength to do that. And that's the way this life is going to be. Is that, yes, we will have that pallet. We will have that cross. We are human beings. We are in a fallen world, a fallen state, until the ultimate victory of Christ. But he will give us the strength to carry whatever it is by raising us up. It says that we receive the resurrection first, and then we receive the grace to carry the cross. It's kind of upside down for us. Jesus carried the cross and rose from the dead, and we receive the grace of the resurrection from the dead so that we can carry the cross. And dare I say, we can never carry the cross unless we first receive the grace, the inner grace, the spiritual grace that comes first from our baptism, that washing, that cleansing, that strengthening, the anointing with the holy oil, and then ultimately that grace that is ongoing by the gift of the Holy Spirit in the soul to continually bestow faith and healing and restoration to us. So again, I'll ask you the question, what is holding you back? Christ says to you today, rise. One final thought, and that is this. The translations of the gospel for this differ a little bit. And the question that the Lord Jesus asks the paralytic at the very beginning of the story is often translated, do you wish to be healed? Which is a really interesting question in and of itself. And it's one that's worth asking ourselves regarding our own broken state. But there's another, actually a more perhaps direct way of translating this. It's, Will you be healed? Will you be healed? Will you be healed? Because Christ is present, you will be. You will be healed. That's the answer to the question. The answer to that question is yes. It is in the affirmative. You will be healed. Say yes. The man responded in an earthly way because he didn't know. He didn't have a way. He didn't have any means to get into the pool. And he said, well, there's nobody to get me into the pool. I can't get there first. And the Lord says, I give you the ability. Now, you don't need what you thought you needed. You have the Lord. You have your Lord, your risen Lord with you. Arise and be healed. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is risen.
Indeed, he is risen.